Blessings to each of you on this day. Here we are for Thirsty Thursday. And on this day, we are going to jump into John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And as you know, if you've been tuning in here, this podcast throughout the fall is teeing up the text for Sunday and doing a deeper dive than we sometimes can do in the limited time of a sermon and those things. So a deeper dive into the biblical text for Sunday. You can use this in small groups with friends. You can listen to it on the commute. You can share with one another as you stay thirsty in God's word, God's relationship of life. And the theme for today, as I read this, I want you to be thinking about unleashed and alive. Unleashed and alive. So here is the gospel. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me, because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence, and as for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, even though there are just a few verses here to consider today, it packs a punch, and there is a whole lot to unpack. So let's dive into that. So here what we have in some background is Jesus encounters this group of Jews who have believed in him. They're putting their trust into him, is what we say. And they confront them with the truth, Jesus confronts them with the truth that they are, quote, slaves to sin, that they're chained, shackled in sin. Well, the people push back with that ridiculous claim that they have never been slaves to anyone. Well, apparently they forgot the stories of Egypt and Babylon, not to mention their current occupation by the Romans. Isn't that interesting how you can say, I'm living free, I've never been enslaved by anything or anyone, and yet time and time again this people had been occupied or held under the grip of an empire. So for them, there are all kinds of stories in their tradition and in their history that they would have to live out of. And Jesus is just holding that mirror back up and saying, you know, here's some stuff, right, that we're going to look at. You are captive. You are captive. And so he draws a contrast between being held by the world story, I think, versus being held by God's story. We often talk that there's two stories, God's story and the world story, and they both can't be true. And when held by the world, we might become enslaved by the things of the world. It could be our possessions. It could be our own fear, our status, suffering, and death. But when held by God, we are truly set free. That's God's dream, that we'd be set free knowing that God has us and that God will never let us go. But the question then becomes, what do we do with this freedom? What do we do with that freedom to be unleashed and made fully alive? We're going a little further here. We cannot reduce this concept of sin down to the execution of misdeeds. You know, that every little thing you do is sin. And we've got our laundry list of our sins. No. Hamartia is the Greek word for sin, which literally means to miss the mark. So imagine a target, and you're trying to aim for the center of that target, but you miss it. You miss the mark. This is hamartia, the Greek word for sin. And to miss the mark, I think here refers to the tendency that we have to want to escape our own humanity. We fear maybe fallibility. suffering, and death. And so we pursue worldly means which promise to free us from all of those things. We can somehow skirt that. We pursue prosperity and power because we buy into the idea that possessing all of those things will make us happy and give us fulfillment and provide security. What we find is that we often become slaves to our wealth and to our status, and thus devote ourselves to protecting and preserving them, taking all of our time to protect and preserve that, all while realizing that they are not providing what they promised. And then we continue to feel lost. And the things of the world, in the world story, it's like the dangling carrot keeps getting moved. And the goal is always being pushed a little further out. And then we get that, we attain that thing, and we realize I still feel empty. I still feel lost. I still feel stuck. That thing didn't really give me what I thought it would. That's part of what the world does. It tempts and tempts and tempts. And our sin causes us to miss the mark. Well, the truth is that only God is faithful in providing life to us. Faith in God's promises frees us to use all of our gifts and abilities for God's purposes in the world. In doing so, we discover true hope and peace and joy, for we are living as we were created to live. You've heard me say many times, God wants human beings fully alive, all of creation fully alive. And so here we are. And how do we discover that true hope, peace, and joy so that we can live as we were created to live? Well, I can tell you one thing, we don't cover that up. We don't hide those elements of our life. We truly live them. Well, just knowing here in the cognitive sense that God has us, that's not enough to provide the hope and peace for which we seek. We must believe in God's promises with true action. So moving out of the cognitive exercise to say, oh yeah, yeah, I kind of got it figured out up here. No, the kind of action where we change our priorities and we take steps to live differently each and every day. Faith is action, not knowledge. It's living differently, not just believing in a concept or idea. I love when we read this text because, again, when you're reading the word, you'll recall other stories, or maybe a light will go off and you'll be like, whoa, 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 I think Jesus talked about this somewhere else. So today, we have this element of truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, who is truth in the text? Jesus is pointing to himself as truth. And then later on, he's going to, quote, testify to the truth. So if you'd flip your Bibles later on, if you're not driving right now, you go to chapter 18 in John, okay? And you go to verse 37, 18, verse 37. And this is where the trial of Jesus is happening. And so Pilate asks him, so you are a king? And Jesus answers, you say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. To which then Pilate asked him, what is truth? Well, interestingly enough, Jesus is tried here before Pilate, while Pilate is on trial for whether or not he will believe Jesus. Isn't that an interesting concept? Jesus is the one on trial, but so is Pilate. Will he believe in this Jesus? Will he come to see who this Jesus is, to what he is testifying to? Will he see truth in the person of Christ? And that question is for all of us in the world. Jesus as truth points to being unleashed and alive, living the gospel story. Seeing a God where life and love wins and where true resurrection happens on the daily, both in this life and for the life to come. And so I want to give you a few devotional questions that surround this theme. And one of those for you to consider is, what enslaves you? What enslaves you or holds you back or down? And could you confess that verbally to a couple other people in your life? And to put that truth out there, that expression out there. so that that wouldn't have weight in your life anymore. And number two, if you and the communities in which we live grasp this freedom that Christ does indeed give, to be who we've been created to be, to live into Christ, then what would be different about our communities and world? If we really grasp the freedom that Christ does give, what would be different about you and the communities in which we live? And a third question is, when we say as a faith community that the chains are gone, we have been set free, does this lift the burdens that you maybe feel? The chains are gone. We've been set free. Does that lift the burden that you feel? Do you see that newfound freedom in Jesus? Well, to dig a little bit deeper, as you pause maybe and reflect on those questions or here at the end of the podcast, in Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 23, it states that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Going back to this hamartia, the Greek, missing the mark. Hamartia, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If all, meaning all y'all, have fallen short, why do we spend so much time separating out the shortcomings, sins, and failings of others and ourselves? Why do we spend so much time there versus into the freedom which we've been given? That's something to consider. Paul in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then if Christ comes into that, Jesus comes into this and testifies to truth, him being truth, if he's the giver of grace, the radical grace that's poured out on the cross and in the resurrection, what then are we to do with it? What do we do with this radical grace? Will we embrace it? Will we share it? Will we grow into it? Will we share it with those around us? I think it's so important to see radical grace. Radical being used intentionally here because you don't earn it. It's given freely. It's poured out over you like Snoqualmie Falls rushes over the edge of water. It's pouring over you. You receive it no matter what. And so this word that Jesus is, the word that Jesus points to in his life, it's not about the knowledge. While that might be important on some level, it's more about how we emulate the things that Jesus really cares about, how we live into that. This living word that Jesus says is that the truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. That's Jesus sets you free. And when you move it from truth to a word that can get manipulated and tossed around and used differently, it's Jesus. He's the truth. Jesus is the one who sets you free. And the last part I want to touch base on there is if Jesus is saying that this slave, this sin, does not have a permanent place within the household, this thing that has you shackled, but that the Son has a place there forever, I think Jesus is kicking that sin to the curb, and he's moving into our lives. He's saying, I want to take up residence with you, so that you can live that daily and eternal promise, that you can have your joy about you as you go through this beautiful yet messy world. So there's a lot there that I just unpacked for you in these 14 minutes of podcast. But as you consider being unleashed and made alive, what will it mean for you to not compare and contrast yourself to others or the things of the world, but to live in the freedom of who Jesus is, what he's done for you, how he accompanies you on the journey today, and what he will accomplish in your life in the years to come. All right, well, great blessings of peace and hope be upon you as you live unleashed and fully alive. Until next time, stay thirsty, my friends.